Welcome to the Introverted Apostle! The podcast for Christian introverts who love Jesus and their faith but struggle with the social side of church life. I'm Roman Asbill, a proud introvert.
And I'm David Wilson, equally introverted and proud of it.
Here we'll explore what it means to live out our faith as introverts, finding peace in community, purpose in service, and strength in stillness.
We are not psychologists or theologians, just two guys who overthink too much and decided to hit record while doing it. In today's episode, we're diving into serving in ways that align with introverted strengths. So grab your coffee, settle in, and join us on this quiet journey of faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, please open our eyes, ears, hearts, and minds to your word. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Today, our guest is none other than Deacon Tino Frosto at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish. Thank you, Deacon Tino, for joining us today.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me and along this road on y'all's podcast to be with our fellow introverted Catholics. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so let's just jump right in. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what brought you here today?
Well, of course, Deacon Tino Frosto. Before the deacon, everybody knew me as Stephanie's husband that used to be the Respect Life or Family Life director here many years ago. But yeah, we're married to Stephanie for now, 24 years. Nice. And got four children. One lives out in Los Angeles. The two are here in the Amarillo proper area. And then I got one also, the youngest boy, that helps us there at the restaurant. And of course, we own a Tex-Mex restaurant here in Amarillo, Texas. And then I do serve at Our Lady of Guadalupe Church. I grew up in that parish, but during formation, I was at St. Mary's during that time, and I got called back to my roots. So, yeah, nice. Glad to be there. So,
I'm not going to lie. We do miss you at St. Mary's.
Well, I miss St. Mary's, too. So I really do. Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Yeah. All right. So today we're talking about serving in ways that align with introverted strengths. I think all too often us introverts, we tend to think, oh, well, you know, helping out at church or doing, you know, that organization or being a part of this ministry, this is not for me because I just don't like being around people or just not my thing, just in general. And but there's a lot of different things that we need introverts for, even in church ministry.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're part of an organization, whether that's Knights of Columbus, the Women's Auxiliary, Altar Society, whatever it may be, there is always something for everybody. I think people forget about that.
Yeah, yeah. And just kind of go off what you said, that, you know, there's a bunch of people, we don't want to be there. But we've already tackled kind of half of the issue, right? If you're attending church and around community, we're already past the major block of being around people. So it's kind of a misnomer that we don't like being around people. But I think, as you guys know, we love the community, right? Mm-hmm. Right. We love to be a part of something. We struggle with where we fit in. And that's one of the things I think we'll talk about today is how we can fit in and really pull the energy in our faith life out of the communal life. So,
right. Yeah.
What kind of ministry roles have you found for others, but even for yourself to be a good fit for your personality? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, when I told my wife I was coming to this podcast and what we were talking about, she goes, "You're not an introvert." You know, I'm you know, my wife, we're still getting to know each other, obviously. But, you know, I'm very comfortable with her. But I think, you know, early on, you know, when we were coming into ministry, you know, Stephanie was part at first coming into the Respect Life ministry and just volunteering. And of course, you know, she drugged me along, you know, there was things, you know, praying there at the Haven Health Clinic. I think it was Planned Parenthood still at the time, doing things, you know, we're just praying at the time. And then it brought us into a bigger ministry. And when she took over the director role, you know, I was able to thrive just by helping, being on the side of her, not being out there in front, but, you know, just doing the things, you know, helping her set up and for her ministry and the roles, whether it was clerical stuff or just being the person setting up tables or whatever mm-hmm. we needed to do. So, but it blossomed into roles of being more vocal at mm-hmm. some point, you know, as we started diving into marriage ministry. So I found that to be a good fit for me. It was a gradual, you know, doing the things that mm-hmm. I could do very well without having to say too much. Mm-hmm. And then it blossomed into the things being out there when we were doing marriage ministry to be that helpmate for her, but you know, allowing me to speak it sometimes, right? As you mm-hmm. know, as introverts, you know, we think a lot, and before we speak, we're thinking about what we're gonna mm-hmm. talk about, and you know, and I think that was able to help me discern and help me find my fit in those things. So mm-hmm. yeah, and that was lots of years ago.
Yeah, no, I remember because the first time I think I met you and Stephanie, my now wife, we were taking theology of the body with you and Stephanie.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do remember Stephanie kind of being more the forefront, mm-hmm. doing a lot of the heavy teaching, but yeah. you were right there to support her. You were helping with technology needs. You were occasionally chiming in whenever you had something yeah. great to say.
Yeah.
Just proof that that even the introverts, you know, they bring value to those settings, because we may not have all the answers, we may not have everything to say, mm-hmm. but when we have something to say, it's very profound.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Most of the time, anyway.
We like those little sound bites.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've talked about it before, but I think it's, a misnomer. People confuse shyness mm-hmm. with introversion. Because
yeah.
there's some of the best speakers I've heard are introverted.
Yeah.
But it's more the what zaps your energy. You know?
Absolutely.
And so if you have a captive audience, but you know what you're going to say, that does not zap my energy at all. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
It's more the interaction with people that my balloon is like, starts leaking air, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah. I remember you at St. Thomas, you did one of the men's, I wouldn't say it was a mini men's mm-hmm. conference, and you did a great job for doing this.
Well, Tino, can you share an example of a time that you served in a way that felt both natural and spiritually fulfilling?
I think going back to, you know, helping Stephanie at that point, you know, because a lot of people don't know during those times, you know, we were coming back, in a sense, to the church. Mm-hmm. We refound our faith and started being more active. And so we were still babies back to the mm-hmm. faith, you know, coming back. Not that we left the church. We just didn't practice for a long time right. When we had our young family. And so we were probably about 5-6 years in. And so we were getting to kind of put our faith into practice to say, so we were still newbies. But at that time, yeah, it was a challenge for us, you know, because mm-hmm. we were stepping out into a bigger realm of our faith. By doing those small things for myself, it helped me get comfortable to where I am today as being a deacon, you know, because people say, how can you be a deacon and be an introvert, you know? And maybe that'll be a question we answer on here, you know. We're all called to stretch a little bit, right? You know, and we can't be comfortable, even though us as introverts like to be comfortable. But, you know, in our faith, it calls us to stretch. And I think that's what it has done during those early years of ministry, whether it was Respect Life and the family life ministry. It helped us grow and stretch just a little bit, not so much outside our comfort zone. Sometimes it felt like it, but it was a natural progression for us where God was leading us for me, for this role that I'm in now as being an ordained deacon here mm-hmm. in the Diocese of Amarillo and for the Parish of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So,
yeah, Father Taylor talked about how the word introvert literally means almost like turning in on oneself, mm-hmm. right? But introverted apostle, it's almost like a... You know, it's ironic because apostles go forth, they go out and spread the message. But as introverts, I think God is calling us to always be moving into the discomfort.
Yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
To not stay in our little bubble or in our little nutshell and being content with that. Mm-hmm. It's about stretching ourselves and using those introverted strengths to speak life into other people.
Right.
And we can't do that unless we are willing to step out into the unknown mm-hmm. and to utilize our introverted strengths. for the greater glory of God's kingdom.
Right, right. You know, you say that, and it takes me to the scripture of Luke 10:38-42, and we know as Martha and Mary, right? Mm. And I think if we were to be honest, you know, as introverts, that's who we are, those two people. We're very like Mary, where we can be attentive and we can be still. But, you know, our minds are like Martha, right? Mm. Mm-hmm. That we're just very busy thinking about the things where God is asking us to go, right? Right. You know, and it's just, you know, sometimes we need people outside ourselves to help prompt us to get to those places that God is calling us. Like you said, you know, we're always interior, but when God calls us, we know we're called to stretch and go beyond ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, and that scripture is very profound for me. I've gotten a lot of solace out of that. You know, when I want to go interior and just stay there, I got Martha duties. Mm-hmm. I've got to go do something, yeah. You know, because God has called each and every one of us out to go and do.
Right.
So. Well, I just thinking about, you know, when Father Taylor was saying it's always communion for the sake of communion. Mm-hmm. We like to, you know, sit before the Blessed Sacrament, and we like the quiet, like, I just want to commune with God. Mm-hmm. But that's always to go back out and then commune with others. Yeah. It's never communion for the sake of isolation.
Right, right.
That's where God's asking is introverted people. It's asking us to stretch. It's not to get comfortable and stay inside, mm-hmm. but what are you going to do with the time that you've spent with me?
Right.
Well, then it's meant to go, yeah, you know, back out.
Called to go forth, yeah. Yeah. And as introverts, that's what we yearn for. We really want communion. Mm. That's what we're yearning for, if we're honest with ourselves, mm-hmm. deep down inside. You know, you mentioned Father Taylor. I get to serve with him, you know, weekly. I was thinking about that. Is like, you know, you got two introverts. And if you ever were to walk into the sacristy with both of us in there.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You could imagine how quiet it is. Yeah. There's almost like silence. Yeah. But, you know, and I know, especially at the 5:30 Mass, I know just because being an introvert, knowing that he needs his thoughts, his time, he's just coming from the confessional. And I know not to be like, hey, you know, not that that's my nature, but not to overwhelm him.
Sure.
As he's still trying to decompress of where he just came from and just try to give him that time. So I should have a little camera in there at one point. This is how introverts interact. Yeah, well, and there's very few words, even before Mass, you know, we'll talk about something, what we need to get out there, and then we go straight to.
I think it's also maybe a superpower of introverts to let all our extroverted friends know that when you're around us, and if you're quiet or if we're quiet, we're still communing with you. Mm. Like, we don't need words to commune.
It's okay, yeah. Yeah, you're still speaking
right.
without speaking, you know? Right. Yeah, you're very, exactly. very in tune with the feelings that are in that room. It's hard to say. It's kind of weird, mm-hmm. but you kind of vibe off each other.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. Yep. So why do you think it's important for introverts to serve in ways that align with our God-given temperaments, rather than just forcing ourselves into some sort of uncomfortable role?
Yeah. Just like to go off, David said, you know, we're called to stretch at some point, right? And we do know that in our heart of hearts as introverts, we know that we're going to be called. And I think in the church here, there's a lot of needs, right? And, you know, when you're ready to serve, or somebody has an inkling that you're ready to serve, they're ready to pounce and be like, hey, we're going to put you here, right? Without even a thought. You know, and sometimes as introverts, like, oh, okay, yeah. And sometimes it can be very scary for us. But I think being able to recognize, and I think that's one of the gifts I have, you know, being in the parish, you know, I'm able to recognize and to be among people and get to know their strengths and get to know them before I ask them to do any type of ministry. I'm kind of not sizing them up, but just trying to see where they're at, where their heart at, where their mind is at, how they think, how they receive. And then that way we can put them in the best type of ministry that would suit them, not to be comfortable for the whole fact, but to be able to have them ease into it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can have them slowly ease into it, I think, you know, they end up doing bigger things, you know, than what they thought they could do. Right. So, yeah, just kind of getting to know them and ease them in those things, you know, instead of just, rah, here you go. Mm-hmm. You got to go do this. You know, I think that would be a big key, and just get to know them at first. Instead of just, hey, I need you to do this. You know, there's sometimes we need to do that. But just getting to know those people on their level. Introverts know introverts, you know, but the what's the extroverts? You know, they're very, you know, I say they're bossy, but they can kind of turn us off a little bit, right? You know, so yeah, but just to get to know them on that level.
Right. Yep.
So just from your experience as a deacon, but maybe also from your observations as a layperson before you became a deacon, what, in your opinion, are some great ways that introverts can serve in their parish community?
Yeah, so I'll do one example. Is, you know, I was in the medical field prior to what I'm doing currently, but I was a medical device rep. So I was in the hospitals, and I don't even know how I got into it, but I started doing hospital ministry by taking communion to those there that were in the hospital there at BSA. And I think that was one of the things, you know, that's the bigger parish, I guess, community. But I remember just finding so much joy in doing that. You know, you still get to talk to people, but it was kind of like at your own pace. And they were there just happy to see you. They were very inviting. So that was kind of one way that I was able to thrive just as a layperson to do those things. What else did I do? I was part of the Knights of Columbus, you know, for introverts that, you know, part of the one side of the Knights is you do a lot of charitable things, you know, whether it's pancake breakfasts, the wheelchair ramp builds, things like that. You can go and do stuff like that with having to say too much. You know, I think as introverts, we're very good workers, you know, we're very dedicated to our work. And I think those two things really helped me out, helped me mature and get out of myself a little bit, to be a little bit more vocal in the things that I needed to be. But I had good community, especially in the Knights of Columbus. That helped me being around other men. They brought something out of me that I didn't even see in myself in certain instances, you know. So I think that was good. You thrive for community, and if you really receive it, you know, you grow yourselves, you know. So, yeah.
Not to alienate our women listeners, but I would have to agree with that. You know, as a younger individual, I didn't have a lot of male friendships just because I couldn't connect with men on the level that they were at, you know, in their teens and 20s. But as an adult, as a middle-aged adult, I now see the value in those male friendships.
Yes, absolutely.
Especially ones that are church-related. Mm-hmm. Because as men, we experience things in our lives that are very unique, and we experience things in a way that women experience it differently, and we need that support system.
Right, absolutely.
But we are men that struggle to live our faith day to day. I mean, especially in the world that we live in, it's not easy to be a man in today's, or a Christian man, rather, in today's society. Right. It's hard to do that. And that's a whole other discussion. Yeah. But I think the point that you and I both are getting at is the importance of community, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And being in a safe place for your strengths, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, for those strengths to grow.
Right, absolutely, yeah. And I want to stress to the you that is watching, and you're kind of saying, you know, where do I fit in? The key word is community. Find a community that kind of suits your personality, and don't stay away from it, because like we both said, it helped draw us out. It helped draw us out to do the things that the Lord has called us to do. Mm-hmm. So community is, I think, a big hinge for us introverts that we yearn for. And I'm going to say it over and over again through this time is really find community.
And I think there's a thing within a lot of introverts where perhaps small talk is one of those things that we shy away from.
Yeah.
So like we've talked to the traditional dinner party, you know, it's the big joke, you know, it's like, this is horrible. But put me across the table from one or two guys, and if someone's open to it, I want to coax something out of your heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that doesn't drain me.
No.
That fills me.
When it's heart to heart.
Yeah, yes, when it's heart to heart, my cup is filled. It's not drained. But if we're just going to talk about the weather and, you know, non-issues, then my energy is going to go away pretty quick. Yeah. But I could go hours holding someone's heart in my hand or them holding my heart in their hand. Like you said, with community, I'm hungry for that.
Yeah, yeah.
I want more of that.
Yeah, we want substance, like real substance, just something tangible that we, I mean, I'm the same way. Yep. I mean, I think you guys are all the same way. It's just that when it's a meaningful conversation, hours could go by and you're just, and it fills you up.
Yes.
You know, instead of, like you said, deplete, you actually get recharged during those times.
Yeah, and I think in a social media world, everything that's just so... And then so trivial and so surface, I think something that introverts can offer is depth. But beyond that is we need more professional listeners.
Yeah.
I mean, if that it's not an occupation, but it would be that'd be cool, though. It's like people that can listen good. It's rare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or it feels rare. So to find someone that can listen, doesn't have to
say much.
Yeah. Is I think is something that's missing in our culture.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a great place to step in. I think if I was going to, you know, encourage introverts, like, well, how can I get involved? And I don't want to stand in front of a class and teach. Okay. Yeah. But I've heard Father Mike say, and different Catholic speakers on podcasts, it's like, find who's hurting, you know, in the room.
Yeah.
Who's crying right now? And those people, man, could really benefit from your gift.
Right, yeah.
And from the gift of someone that knows how to listen well. I think a lot of introverted people maybe feel like, I don't know if I really have anything.
Yeah.
And that's more than you know.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times, you can tell me, it's like, you can sit across from someone, and they're just listening, and then you get up and go, thanks, they didn't say anything. And they're like, I didn't say nothing. And you're like, well, I feel better.
Yeah, so yeah, anyway, I feel better. But, yeah. You're able to get into the root of what they're saying. And that's where I got a big feel of doing hospital ministry, because these people were hurting. Mm-hmm. They're sick, you know, and they don't want to be there. And for somebody to come in and to give them the Eucharist or even just to say a prayer, I would walk into some people that weren't Catholic anymore for whatever reason. They still had, you know, the name on the list, but I was just able to listen to them.
Yeah.
You know, and they found so much joy in that. And I found so much joy in that, you know, to do those things. So yeah, find somebody that is hurting. And I think we're keen to that.
Yeah.
Our hearts know.
Yep.
You know, I know when I'm up there serving at the altar, and not that I look for, but I see, you know, I see, and I try to make it when they come out, when we shake hands and greet them after Mass, that, you know, that I have a heart to heart. Hey, how's it going? Is everything okay? Or my introduction is, you know, are you new or something? You know, I know they're there, but it lets them know, like, hey, you know, let's talk. And sometimes there's one hand that I shake, and that's the only hand that I shake, because we're having that heart to heart outside out of Mass, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's beautiful to be able to recognize that. That's a good way to find that person that's hurting. Yeah. I think, you know, what ministries could suit introverts, right? And I think what we're doing now, you know, the way of technology, it's kind of the mainstream now, but I don't think, you know, we give it its due credit of what it's doing, how it's really evangelizing. And I'll give St. Mary's a prop. Probably a lot of people don't know this. I know Deacon Patrick was instrumental of getting the live stream and the camera system there along with Father Bixman. But when we were in deacon formation, we were talking about these things, you know, it was pre-COVID, about how we could reach other people. And it was, you know, through the Mass, of course. We should all attend Mass, but, you know, we do know if we're speaking reality that there's people staying away for whatever reason. You know, Bishop Barron talks about that a lot, right? Mm-hmm. He talked to Father Bixman, and it just happened, right? And now you have live stream. I think it's been a big helper for me, because I can still stay connected. We talked about being away from St. Mary's, being assigned to Our Lady, even though it's a pleasure to be serving where I grew up and where my grandparents and my great grandparents were, but I was home at St. Mary's. We found a home, and but I'm still able to be connected and still stay involved of what, you know, how St. Mary's is changing. You know, I just watched the Mass yesterday, you know, and I get to still keep up with my brother deacons, hear them preach, you know, that I went to formation with. So it's been a big pleasure. And there's a second part of that, you know, during COVID, I don't speak fluent Spanish. And so I get to a predominantly Hispanic community, you know, and I told Father Gomez that I don't speak Spanish. He said, well, good, you're going to preach in 3 weeks. I'm like, okay. Talk about introvert being like, you know, but I was able to reach out. I found a live stream mass in the Diocese of Orlando, St. Mary Magdalene Church, and they actually have a Spanish vigil mass on Saturdays at 5:30 Eastern time. And so I found that, and I was able to listen of Deacon Juan Cruz. Thank you, Deacon Juan, the way he pronunciated the gospel. Mm. And I actually called him and I said, thank him. Because this was after now COVID, about 2.5 years in. And I said, for whatever it's worth, it's a ministry. Live streaming is a ministry. You guys know that. Mm-hmm. Yep. I said, thank them for doing that. And if y'all think about even taking it away, thank you, because you helped me tremendously learn how to preach the gospel in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And he told me what he did. He was a speech therapist.
Oh, cool.
Can you imagine that? That's what he's retired now. Because, well, thank you for telling me that, because I'm a speech there and I really elaborate on my words. Oh. I say, it's been the greatest help for me. And I still tune in there. Cool. And he's still there. But, you know, things like this help us introverts, right? The way of technology to help talk about stretching, you know, coming into a parish. I was ordained in August of 2020, still, you know, in the mix of COVID, you know, so we're coming to predominantly, you know, not shut down parish, but very limited parish. And as it grew, I was never really settled until it fully got there, you know, but being able to learn how to stretch, you know, and Father Gomez did that, you know, as a little, we were talking about earlier, is just sometimes when they tell you to do, you know, like, you know, can I do it? But he allowed me to stretch, you know, and he helped me put that easy. And he said, you know, the way you pronounce it is the way you're going to pronounce it. They'll get it on the other side. Yeah. So, you know, so things like this, social media, the people that are putting this context on is, I think it's a big help. You know, and I'm sure a lot of these guys are introverts like yourselves that are doing this, because that's the way we think, right? Mm-hmm. And we know how to kind of reach those people. So I think this is one of the ministries, even though it's still mainstream, but I don't think it gets its just due.
Right.
You know, it's accolades of how it's spreading the gospel to us
in
the masses. So, but we still need that one-to-one still. Mm-hmm. It'll never suffice for that, but or community.
You know, with media, there's probably now more good Catholic media than there's ever been. Mm-hmm. So it's not lack of Catholic speakers.
Right.
But I think one place the media comes into play, especially in, like, say, our diocese, is if we're going to try to compete on the level of Bishop Barron or Father Mike Schmitz, like, there's plenty of places to hear great teaching. Mm-hmm. But our diocese is so huge and so spread out, this can help shrink it.
Yes.
You can get to know priests and deacons and lay people throughout our diocese. Mm-hmm. It's so spread out. You're never going to meet this person. Mm-hmm. But knowing they're in our diocese can help connect us. Yeah. And not just, oh, that's cool that I got to hear Tino, but I'm all the way over here in Clarendon. Mm-hmm. But it's also this, oh, wow, we have this in our diocese. I don't have to go outside of it. If I want to have this event or have that thing, that exists here.
Yes.
I could reach out to this person, that person. Oh, that ministry's available. All of those things. It's like a connecting point. And I think that's something also that introverts are good at.
Yes.
I'm not going to be the guy, but I know a guy.
I know a guy. Yeah. And I'll help when you need me to help, or you need me to help.
Yeah.
What's a quiet or behind-the-scenes ministry that you wish more people appreciated?
Oh, you know, I think, one of these, because this is really, it's quiet, you know, when I've been at St. Mary's, to the left, you know, that's where the AV guy is, the live stream guy is, and they're always happy in there, they're like, you know, because they're by themselves. That's a loaded question, because I think everybody in every ministry is, we always think, you know, we need more, right? And we're underappreciated of what we do. But, you know, I've been thinking here lately, because I think the people that help set up Perpetual Adoration, you know, my wife, she's a regular attendee of Thursday morning. For those people that are behind the scenes that help keep that ministry together, mm-hmm. I think, you know, people overlook them, that there's somebody actually here. And that includes the deacon or the priest that, you know, puts out the Blessed Sacrament. There's so many people still involved that allow those people over that 24-hour period to be present with Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. I knew that question was coming. I think, you know, I was like, man, those people, you know, they do a lot for us, right?
Yeah.
To allow us people to be alone with our thoughts
and
to be alone with our Lord Jesus Christ. So,
anytime you walk into any parish anywhere in the world, everything you see, from the books in the back of the pew to a vacuumed carpet, like everything that you notice, everything that you see is intentional, and someone did that.
There
was not gnomes that came in at midnight and snuck in and did all that. There was a human being somewhere that made that happen.
My whole life is a lie.
And so there's a person behind it.
You know, there's another one that brings to mind is our sacristans. I have one sacristan there at Our Lady at 9 o'clock, and I always know I get to sleep in a little bit on Sunday mornings, you know, but he's been a big help. Not that I really sleep in, but I get a focus on what the task at hand of being prepared for Mass. You know, I'm not in the Martha context that I got to get this, make sure this is lit, or make sure, you know, we got all these things put out. And he does such a great job, Mr. Morales. Yeah, that's one that's very underappreciated, and deacons love it. I know priests love it if you don't have, you know, a whole lot of deacons there in some of the parishes. But yeah, sacristans, that's a huge one, a good one for an introvert. You know, can do their job, get in and get out, you know, kind of like a Navy SEAL, to be honest. So
have y'all ever tried a role like done something in church, just went, I don't know, and then you tried it and you're like, yeah, that wasn't a fit. have you ever like experienced that? I mean, I've done several things where I was like, I don't think I'll ever do that again. I think maybe though the fear is a lot of people will go, well, if I volunteer for that, then I'm stuck with it for the next 300 years.
Yeah.
But that's not always the case. So I just encourage people, if you're curious and you don't know if you'd be good at it,
try it.
Then try it and put a boundary on the front end. Go, I'll give you 2 months, and if it doesn't work out, then do I have the grace to bail? You know, maybe it's a role that they go, no, for a teacher, we need it for a semester. So if you think you're going to bail in 2 months, no. But other things, there's plenty of things where it's like, if it's not a fit, then don't do it.
Yeah, absolutely. But
you'll never know unless you jump in there and try.
Yeah. And I think sometimes that's a fear in ministry, right? Going to be like Moses and be there the whole time, right? I mean, it's like you do it once and then you're stuck, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, and I think this is a perfect plug for the next episode, which talks about how to set boundaries how to say no.
Yeah.
And so Roman's absolutely right. Like if you're not sure what you will like doing, just jump in and do something. And if you don't like it, then just say, okay, I tried it. It's not my thing. Move on to the next thing.
And that's one of the things, you know, I'm in charge of the Eucharistic ministers and the lectors, and I'm trying to get sacristans. But that's what I tell them, you know, let's try it, you know, because they've had the courage to come approach me and say, I think I'm interested, and I'll have those one-on-one kind of trainings with them. And then I say, hey, if this is something that you don't think you're comfortable with, just you know, we'll try it a couple of Sundays, or I'll put you on the schedule. I'll do it for 6 weeks. Just let me know after that. Say, hey, you know, Deacon, you know, I just don't think, you know, it's my fit. And hey, that's okay. Right. But we tried it.
Yeah.
And then being open and let them kind of do it at their own pace and where they're comfortable. So yeah, it's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As introverts, that's one of the things I do, just give them an out, you know, but give them an out like, hey, you still have to respond, right? Not to keep them like, hey, you know, just don't quit showing up, but hey, you need to let me know verbally, like, hey, you know, this isn't for me, and it's okay. Okay. Right. We'll move on to something else.
So, correct.
So Deacon Tino Frosto is our guest today, and I think let's start wrapping this up. But Deacon, I'm curious to know your thoughts on what do you tell an introverted person who just comes to Mass every Sunday, doesn't get involved at all, is hesitant to do so for whatever reason. What is one thing that you would tell them?
You know, first I would tell them, you know, just, you know, you're in the right place. You're attending Mass. That's enough, right? That's enough. I mean, that is, if that's where they find where they're most comfortable, I think, you know, we know that's enough. But again, as clergy, you know, we're called to recognize those gifts in them, right? And just get to know them on that one-on-one basis and just ask them, you know, hey, are you interested in doing a little bit more? You know, are you interested in helping getting in that community life? Because you know what we yearn for, you know, community. Where would you like to be most fulfilled outside maybe of the realm of Mass, you know, where we can continue? Because that's, as a deacon, right? Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. That's the last thing that you hear. And that's where, you know, we're called, is like, where do you want to glorify? the Lord by your life and which area of ministry. I think that would be a good start to talk to them that way and see how they respond.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share that we didn't get to cover?
Just thank you guys. Thank you guys for using this platform. And I know it's introverted apostle. Is it not a misnomer, oxymoron almost, you know, in a sense, you know, okay, you're an introvert, but you're called to be an apostle to go out. Thank you guys for doing that. It's needed. And thank you guys for tuning in and being interested. So I just encourage you guys that are just like David said, that are in the pews, that is enough. But we're all called for community. We're all called to share our gifts. So what is it that, you know, would help you with that final mission that the deacon says is go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life? How would you like to do that outside those doors of mass where we're called to go to be community, to find that hurting person? Where would you like to be? Talk to your deacons. Talk to those people who are in charge of certain ministries. Don't be afraid to go out and say, hey, I'd like to serve. I don't know it's for me. Can we do a trial run? It's okay. If we don't try it, we don't know if that's where God is calling us, right? So I think that would be a start there. So, yeah.
All right. This was the Introverted Apostle, Episode 7. And we'll see you next episode. And in the meantime, remember that even a whisper can move mountains.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that because, you know, I find myself doing that a lot now. You know, hey, how you doing? Oh, you know, I said, you sure? You know, I said, you look a little tense. You know, what's going on? You know, that's when they're like, oh, yeah, you know, this is what's going on this week. And, oh, okay, yeah.
The ministry of the second question. How you doing? Yeah. Good? How you really doing?
Yeah.
I don't think so. No, 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 no. I don't think so. No, 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 no. It's never, ever, 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 ever gonna happen.